Welcome to Help from Future Self.
Hello, Archons. Welcome to Help from Future Self, the conversational Keyforge podcast by and for Keyforge friends. I'm your host, June, and I'm joined this week by, of course, Sydney.
Woohoo!
Hey, Sydney. Today, we are talking about a lot revolving change of sets. But specifically, we want to talk about the houses rotating with Amber Skies. But before that, I think we have a lot of news.
A little bit.
Yeah.
So I'll take the little itty bitty easy one. And ABR is live. ABR is happening. And none of us, Blake, June, or I, were drafted onto the same team because the captains knew what was up and knew that we'd be a super team. So we are now going to be like cutthroat competitors trying to, you know, knock each other. No, not at all. We're still friends. But yeah.
What are you talking about? No. friendship over until this is done.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I cannot wait until we actually go up against each other. That's going to be amazing.
Yeah. We should get in a call.
Oh yeah. Oh, totally. 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, for you and me, we can even get in a team call. Everyone can watch.
That'd be amazing. Oh my God. Advertise it so everybody gets on. Oh, fantastic. Yeah.
I'm really excited for ABR. Well, I don't actually know when it starts for us. Soon.
Monday, I think, is when the first like format drops, and then we have that week to schedule, and then whatever, and blah blah blah, and you know, that's what the captains are for. Yeah. They're the ones who have to like plan all that stuff.
Yeah. Okay. So for our listeners, it's today. I assume you watch them listen to these as soon as they come out.
Exactly.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So Archon GR. I'm excited.
Oh,
I'm
going
to be borrowing a deck actually, just because it's so cool.
I'm excited because I get to play Stokeways, the one that you came up against, because it's actually my deck. So,
actually so cool.
I have to live up to its expectation now though. So we'll see.
And I think it'll do well. It's it should be a really fun game. I'm looking forward to mine because Mark H is lending me a GR deck that looks like a Menagerie deck.
Oh, that's so
cool. It's so cool. So I'm really excited. And yes, we have a lot of GameFound news.
Oh my gosh.
I don't even know how to start. So we have Amber Skies coming out. We know about more mutations. That's what we're excited about. They said they'd make a new set, and we have got Vault Masters 24 out here. So we hit the stretch goal to reveal the new set, and including spoilers with the Amber Skies pledge. So I'm very excited about that. It's called Prophetic Visions, so it's like the June set.
Yeah, right.
And it seems to be kind of like a more mystical, like magical set, which is really cool. And it includes a new card type, which they say is going to be included in every deck. So I'm curious if this is like a 37th card
that
affects the game. Or like a token or something like that, like something different per deck that has an effect on the game. Or if it is just, you know, like each house will be guaranteed to come with one or something like that.
Sure.
But I'm really excited for a new card type. I think it's been a long time coming. The last time we really saw something different happen with a card type was like Gigantics, right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, like formatting has always been the same. So I think this will be really cool to see. I don't know.
Yeah, I love the theme, like the idea of like the fantasy theme. I've just been waiting for them to hop into that because,
yes,
you know, it's the Crucible. Literally anything can be there. If you've read any of the lore or the books or the RPG, like it's basically like a conglomeration of all different types. And for me, it feels like fantasy is just like a natural extension of that.
Absolutely. I'm really excited to see like fantastical versions of things like Untamed and whatnot. And if you go to the bottom of the update for the game found up to like 9 or 10, I think, there is actually a poll which has a lot of like lore based options. Which is like so cool to me. It's like there's progression of things, which is awesome. And it seems like it's going to trigger the next reveal about Prophetic Visions.
Ooh.
or something, but there's also mention of Nizak the Forgotten, an anomaly from Worlds Collide. So we're getting another hit of those anomalies. Oh, Amber Skies gives us Red Baron, and then maybe the next set gives us Nizak. We'll see.
I know, right? And I think it's hilarious that one of the things that people have been really, really irked about, and it is the second highest number of votes, so people also probably love it. One of the options is Bad Penny and Rad Penny will resolve their differences. And the number of people saying, but they're the same person on all the discords is hilarious.
Yeah, like this game could never, would never have like merging timelines or like, or people with several personalities. Yeah, that's impossible.
Exactly. Totally. Like we're waiting for there to be like a million additional pennies, like Glad Penny. Sad Penny.
Yes! Sad Penny. I adore her. I'll mean every Sad Penny.
Amazing.
I'm really excited about Prophetic Visions. Just like feels like a new sort of injection into Keyforge, like something totally different, you know? We also got the same day somehow,
right?
Teasers of a special set called Tokens of Change. So it's like a spin on the Winds of Exchange, which is crazy. A city was happening.
Houses that haven't had tokens for houses that we've missed. And on top of that, like literally on top of everything else, just like sliding in the fact that Tokens of Change is going to be a special set inside the houses that they've announced are going to be in that set is a new house. So they're taking Sanctum and they are making it a like a play on Sanctum called House Redemption. And so on top of a new set that are giving us tokens for houses that we've never had before, which is so cool. Like my Logos tokens better be adorable or I'm yes. going to love. But they're also giving us a whole new house. So Sanctum is going to be even cooler. And it's just so exciting that these are all going to get new tokens. And what's really cool is they originally, when they first released this article, they said, when they hit $400,000 stretch goal, they will be able to put them into your cart. But then they made it available immediately. So I was like,
yeah, I had a 12.
I know. I was going to be like, I thought that I was spending as much money as I was already going to spend. How are you squeezing more money out of me? And so I am.
It's so easy, Sid. That's right. The thing. It's so easy to make us spend more. I'm down. I'm fully down.
Oh my gosh. It's going to be amazing.
Is really going to be amazing. You, so I'm really excited about the concept of taking a house and remix it and introducing something like Redemption. I'm just thinking about like other possibilities of like house splits, like Saurian has like numerous different leaders, and like different kinds of thinkers. Cause it's like a Senate, right?
Yeah.
And then, Unfathomable has all sorts of like cults and gods going on. Different cults are being followed. So that would be a really interesting one.
Oh my gosh, I love lore so much.
Right. And there's even like different Sky Barons, right?
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see if they keep exploring stuff like this. And on top of this, so this is like, okay, where is this set fall in? Because there's Prophetic Visions after Amber Skies. Right. Like, what is this? So they said that this set is going to release late in this year. So there's no real date. I think it's going to be at KFC because that's in November. and so that would give them a chance to have a sealed event with a brand new set like they did last year.
Oh my gosh. I love the way you think. Like, I didn't even cross my mind.
I think that's going to be it. So official retail release will be at the end of the year. And then the game found will allow us to add decks. So game found funders will have a chance of getting an even earlier look at these decks, which is really cool.
You're making me want to add even more. Like, I just, by the end of this, I'm just going to add a couple every day being like, oh, I know, I want to open one. Every time I want to open one,
yeah,
I'm going to add one to my game found campaign.
Sydney, do you need to take out a mortgage? Or are you going to be okay?
We'll find find out.
You don't sound okay.
I'm never okay. I'm always crazy.
Yeah, same here. So there's a lot of stuff going on. And it's a lot to take in. Honestly, just thinking about it all, I had to start typing it out to figure out, like, okay, when are these sets actually coming out? Because, like, it feels like there's, like, six sets this year. Because there's DR, one, Vault Masters, 24, Amber Skies, new set, TOC,
MMM,
and Prophetic Visions. So, like, there's six.
Technically, Menagerie 24 or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's 20. I don't know. People are putting it in that category because of the year, because, like, technically it has 24 on it and we're in 24, whatever. I don't know.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Well, I had to, like, write it out for myself to think, like, what are these sets actually for? Like, what's happening? So the way it comes down is, wait, let me bring up. One sec. I'm going to bring up my summary.
Do it.
That I wrote. Because it's like... It's
helpful?
It is helpful. It's a lot to take in. Okay. Okay. So here's what we got. So in March, Grim Reminders came out. And then in April, we got a small release of Vault Masters 24 at the very first Vault Tour, Roseville, for the year. And we'll get a little bit more injection as we keep going to these Vault Tours. We know that there are a couple hundred out there now. So April had a small release for, like, a limited print run, right? Vault Masters 24 is a limited print, available only advance. Then we will have another small release sometime in the summer for more Mass Mutations. Once the Game Found finishes, there will be Mass Mutations decks reprinted for stores. And the more people attend your store, the more Mass Mutations decks they'll receive. But there's a spin, and they're adding a few new chase cards, which is really cool. But ultimately, they did say that they wanted to make Mass Mutations a fan favorite set available to more players and give stores something unique, something to chase, right? A reason for us to, like, support and go to our stores. Because it's only available to stores. It's not even going to be available through, like, the Game Found. They don't want to make it available for that. It's for the stores, which is awesome. But this is also seems to be a limited print run. Stores are getting a limited supply based off of their attendance. Then we have a release of Amber Skies, which is estimated to be sometime in September, based on the Game Found. That's a full set release. So following the March release of Grim Reminders, in November, we maybe have TOC. Tokens of Change, which is a special set, so it's outside of the normal rotation of sets. We'll see how much of this is made and how competitive it is.
Right.
It seems that through Discord, it's been clarified that these will all be tournament legal sets, except for Menagerie 24. And then in March of next year, we should be seeing Prophetic Visions coming out. So we're sticking basically to the March, September, March schedule, but they had a really cool idea. So we're seeing something extra in November. And then there's the small, like, promotional releases for the vaults and stores.
I want your take on this because I have my own opinions, but the fact that these are kind of smaller-ish releases, they're being released amongst other sets and they are tournament legal. I'm not necessarily sure that for me personally, they are chase for Alliance because I don't know if they're going to have a large enough pool of decks to be able to craft something competitive with the current Alliance meta.
Yeah, for me, they're chase based off of, like, sentimental value almost. Because, like, Vault Masters 24, I want one from each event, I think. Or at least, especially each one I can go to. And then more Mass Mutations, I kind of just want to see what these new Gigantics do and how fun they are to play. But I don't expect to open up anything, like, mind-blowing.
Right.
Like, there might be Becky too. Who knows? But, like, You're like, I'm going to open up a couple of these because that's all that's really going to be available. Right. And I'm not going to like think of, like, it will be tournament legal. So if you open up something amazing and like really cool, you won't be sad. Like, you'll be like, oh, okay, sick, I'm ready.
Exactly.
But I don't think that I'll be running into it, and I wonder how others will, but I'm not going to be running towards more mass mutations, hoping to open up the new sauce, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I think the pips will fall may help in that regard, because that was a mass mutation favorite of old, is the fact that the pips might all fall in one house. So that's a great house for Alliance. But I think that on the flip side of that, the tokens of change set will be specifically hard because a smaller print run plus the limitation of a single token for a whole deck, depending on which one you want, which ones are powerful. Like, I'm really excited to learn what these tokens are. That was one of the more exciting things for me in Winds of Exchange, is finding out the tokens I liked the best.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if they do three basic tokens and one rare token per house, it's going to be amazing. Like, I had so much fun exploring that part of Winds of Exchange. Gosh, it's gonna get me mixed up.
Oh, I know, right?
I do hope there's like more balance though in like the tokens. Like, I do think the like high end of tokens, it's okay that they were as high as they were. Like, you know, prospectors, scholars, berserkers, warriors, all great. But I do hope like the low end is not as low as it was.
Yeah.
With like bots and
Blurb, just meming.
Yeah, I like those memes though. I'm kind of okay with that one. But like priests and like raiders and just like, I don't know what the point was.
I mean, in a sealed situation, it was so sad to open them and then your options to be like, oh, well, this is determining how my sealed event is going to go. But I do think that like, I don't know, I'm so excited for these houses that kind of wipes away my fear of the specific tokens.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair. I'm excited to see what it looks like. I mean, new set is always exciting to me.
Yep, totally.
But especially like when a bunch of houses rotate out, it's really interesting to see what happens, because it's going to be a totally different feel. Like, these houses have never been together in this kind of way.
Right. And what's crazy is like, we are having a house rotate out for Amber Skies that is going to like rotate back in, kind of also be there for Tokens of Change. So like, the fact that these houses, like, it's going to be hard to miss them, you know, they're going to be there in some form or another.
It's true. It's not going to stop us though from talking about these. but I mean, before we head over to those, I do have to say, like, I'm really excited. Like, that day was like mind blowing to me. It felt like, you know, back in the days when I used to watch like E3, like the gaming expo.
Oh my God.
And like and Microsoft and Sony and Nintendo would duke it out, and you'd watch full days of like coverage and new announcements. It feels like that. And I feel like, you know, it was maybe almost a criticism of the last Game Found that they didn't do enough to like drum up excitement and use the stretch goals to like really make things exciting.
Right.
And here I am, like, so excited.
Oh, yeah, totally. Like,
they gave me so much to be excited about. And
you can measure the chatter on the Discords. Like, the good chatter is fantastic and amazing. And it also, you can measure the salt of people who like to be salty, or like, the fact that they are salty at all means that this set is going to be successful, you know?
It's true. It's true. There's no such thing as bad publicity, right?
Totally.
I think, you know, for me, these are great things. I love Keyforge. I don't need any reasons to play Keyforge. All I need is like something to get my hands on and something to explore. And you know, I do think like it would be great to like see more of like what we'll be able to do with all these, but in the end I'm gonna be playing them. So
I know, right?
I'll survive.
So yeah. Excited. I've been having, so just the idea of having these decks, I've already added two to my pledge during this conversation.
I was gonna ask, like, two seems kind of low. Yeah, that makes sense, actually.
just slowly gonna inch upwards.
Slow. I don't know about slowly. Yeah, I think this is. I think this is, for me, is like a really exciting time in KeyForge. Ghost Galaxy is pushing the limits of like what we thought a KeyForge set could look like.
Yeah,
as they've done with Unchained and Menagerie, but this time they're responding to feedback. They're saying like all these are going to be like. There was some feedback that Menagerie and Unchained were kind of meaningless because there was nothing to do with them. And now they do have some side events at Vault Tours, but like being able to open these cool sets and not feel like what am I, like just kind of have your eyes glaze over once you look at it.
Right.
Even if something cool shows up.
Exactly.
It's really cool to say like, if something amazing happens, it's mine. I get to play it.
Exactly.
Right? And like, yeah, it's going to be smaller sets. That explore weird stuff, and that might or might not happen for you, but it's going to be fun to explore.
I really like too that they are taking ownership of sets that have like previously were FFGs. So the point at which like we were so excited about Mass Mutations, we were so excited. I mean, Winds of Exchange obviously is theirs, but the fact that they are then creating it and releasing it again to the wild means that like they have control over it. If let's say MMM is the most successful set ever, if they get a million people like emailing their help email saying we want more of this is amazing, or if retailers like come on board like crazy because it is insanely successful at their stores, like they can print more of it. I like the fact that it is in their hands now, even though it is a set that was previously released and they're advertising it as a spin on the old set. Like it's nostalgia for us, but it also is a great business decision, and so I'm happy to see those.
Yeah, I'm really excited for that. And, you know, like, if they say it's limited and then they run out and they're like, we need more, you could just write, like, even more Mass Mutations or something. Just, like, add a couple new cards. They'll be fine.
Exactly.
I don't know. It's so cool. So cool. I'm going to lose my mind.
Yeah, no, this is great. This is exactly what I wanted this game found to be. Like, this is everything that I wanted to want to back.
Yes, exactly.
And it's not even over yet. Like, it's what are we, less than, we're a week in or so, a week and a day in. Yeah.
I think we could use, like, a little summary, like I've been kind of working on for myself at the end of it, just to see, like, all the cool things that are coming out and, like, how we're going to get access to them.
Right.
But it seems like they're not done announcing everything.
I know.
So I understand if they wait until all this is ready before they like put together a timeline for us. Right.
Right. And it's totally crazy that they dropped all of the information on the GameFound. We've been totally paying attention to the GameFound. And then like in the middle of all of that on their website, keyforging.com, they dropped the Roseville Vault Tour summary.
Oh yeah. Oh, that video is great. I love that
awesome.
One. They embraced the memes. Yes, it was fun.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and also they announced two official dates for international Vault Tours.
Yeah.
So I believe it's Vietnam and Italy.
Uh-huh.
And that's so exciting. I felt tempted to go to Vietnam. It would be so cool because Astron in Australia and other closer community to there. Like it would be so cool to see them.
Yeah,
it would be an incredible time, and just like the travel. I don't know. I'm still tempted.
Totally.
We'll see.
I was more tempted to like. I know I can't go on those dates. Like I immediately look up those dates, and I think like one of them is a Vault Tour that like I think Italy's is in July, and Vietnam's is in September, and then 2 weeks later is their nationals. And so like I was looking up these dates immediately and I couldn't make them. So like I didn't have to feel that twinge of maybe I could go. But I was like, I don't know. My brain immediately went to like, how could we help make it successful? And then I was like, Sydney, no, don't. It's not your responsibility. It's fine. They will make it great.
They will. All right. I have full confidence in our community to make this great. And I'm gaining a lot, like even more confidence in GG.
Oh my god!
To make KeyForge great right now, they're clearly putting in a lot of effort into Absolutely. Like expanding the game. I'm excited to see what else they can do. There's like still the narrative event coming up this summer.
Yeah.
There's so, I don't even know where to look. There's so much cool stuff. But I think without further ado, it is time for us to celebrate the graduating class of Amber Skies, the houses that are rotating out. And Sydney, I think you said you've got a few superlatives to hand out.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I am very excited to say that there are some cards that have just, they've earned that page in the, you know, the high school newspaper, that the amateur, like black and white, 4 or 5 page printed newspaper that, you know, the last issue that comes out every year. And I have a couple here. Do you have a house you want to start with?
You pick.
All right. So I'm actually really excited to start with Star Alliance, because I personally, in my own life, I have been rewatching Voyager. We've been rewatching all of Star Trek, me and my husband, and we are now on the last season of Voyager, and it was like just it's getting oh my gosh. Okay. So that aside, a lot of my Star Alliance superlatives are based on Starfleet Academy.
Oh my gosh.
So here we go. Here we go. Strap in. My first one, most likely to get kicked out of Starfleet. And this card is Paradox Shield. It is an upgrade. This card gains. Destroyed. Discard cards from the top of your deck equal to this creature's power. If you do, fully heal this creature and destroy Paradox Shield instead. There is absolutely a cadet out there who is like, yeah, it's fine. Starfleet's going to clean this up. Like, I'm going to crash this ship and it'll be totally cool. Like, the art alone is a cadet inside a crashed ship. But on top of that, actually adding this to a creature and discarding cards from the top of your deck to keep it alive, like the sacrifice that you're making, but also behind the scenes, like if you want to be haunted, this is pretty great. So a reckless cadet would also do a great job in moving up the ranks, but they just can't get kicked out of Starfleet. And they'll be fine. They'll be fine.
Yeah, it really is. Now that I think about it, like a many for one trade, like how many creatures are hitting that discard pile
exactly
for this one creature to live?
Totally.
And you're also making me really want to put like a, put it on like a, like a thing from the deep and just mill everything.
Yes.
Winds of Death or something. That sounds fun.
Oh, that's amazing.
Okay, mine is a classic superlative. Biggest drama queen.
Yeah.
I give this one to Quixelstone. this card, I cannot think of a card that changes the game more than Quixelstone.
Amazing.
The moment it comes down, you start thinking about the game differently. You know, some decks love it and some decks hate it, but you always have to deal with it when it happens.
Or you're immediately thinking of like, how do I get it off the, like, how do I get away from it? How do I make, like, calm it down? What do I need to do?
Exactly. And like, even before it comes down, like you look at that deck list and you're like, oh God, like, what am I going to do?
That's and perfect.
I just think it's like, it's such a dramatic card and really cool. And like, there are some awesome decks like Chandra from JDG that like utilize it in really cool ways. And it's just like such a fun story.
Totally.
I love seeing that. So yeah, Quixelstone, huge drama queen. Yeah.
Amazing. And I have a good next one. I really like this one. So this is for high school. So most likely to be on a sorority welcome committee. So if you expect a high school student to then go to college and be on a sorority welcoming committee, you're probably talking about Staff Sergeant Rhea, because she will come in and she will make everyone feel welcome, but she will also be super judgmental and like in her head calculating like, who do I want in my sorority? Because if you put her on the board, she is absolutely helpful to her neighbors, the people that she's around, her social circle. Like, she helps them succeed. But then if you scrap her, if you ditch her, She only helps the one creature on the board that she wants to help. Like
her bestie.
Yeah, exactly. Her bestie on the board is the only one that gets to benefit from her. So I feel like most likely to be on a sorority welcoming committee, Staff Sergeant Rhea.
Oh my God. No, I see it now. That makes so much sense. At first I was like, huh? All right. Best smile, of course, goes to Medic Ingram.
Yeah.
Do you have her? Like, you should, if you don't remember this art, just look at her. Look at her lizard. He's smiling too.
Aww.
They're so cute. And like, she's just like a friendly presence on the board, right? Like, she comes down and she heals somebody and awards them. And it's just like, oh, heck yeah. Like, Medic Ingram.
Right?
And then she keeps the positivity coming, right?
Totally.
She's maybe underappreciated, but like, you're so happy to have her like as like a pal to another creature, right?
Absolutely.
I love Medic Ingram, and it's just one of my favorite arts. She's so pretty, and she's got a little lizard, and it's really
cute. Speaking of one of my favorite arts, my next one is for the card Event Horizon, and this is an action. And if you look at it, it's just absolutely gorgeous. It's just a skyscape, but it's surrounding what looks like a black hole with some ships around it and a beautiful yellow center. And so I'm giving this one, again, we're rewatching Voyager, most likely to be found in the Delta Quadrant.
What does that mean?
Exactly. Okay, so nerdy Sydney coming out. Like, if you didn't already think I was nerdy, here I am. So first of all, it's a black hole, and the amount of times that the ship Voyager was trying to get home and they like somehow phantasmically calculated how a black hole was going to help them do that. That was totally part of it. But if you read the text, discard cards from the top of your deck until you discard an action card or run out of cards. If you discarded an action card, play that card. Like, that is kind of like, it feels like a desperation attempt. Like, you have to be like, I am willing to play whatever it is that Event Horizon brings to my hand. And on top of that, it has a pip. So you really likely sometimes just play it for the pip, like knowing that whatever the consequences are of the card that comes is going to be worth it for the pip and the probable action. And sometimes even you might be digging for a specific card. Like, if you know that your Memorialize the Fallen is in there, or some action card that will save you and get your opponent off key or do something else to get you the win of the game, Event Horizon is the kind of card you do when you need something and you're in a desperate situation. So like, I feel like that is so very Star Trek.
Okay. Yeah, I hear it. Like, it's somehow at the same time more chaotic and more calculated than Wild Wormhole, right?
Yeah, totally. Because
like, your options are limited, but you are like splashing through a bunch of cards, right? Like, I hope this one card doesn't get hit, but it'll be worth it.
Right, exactly. Like, I hope I don't hit my Punk, but if I hit my Memorialize the Fallen, that'd be amazing.
Yeah. No, I love that one. I love Event Horizon. It's an uncommon, right? I wish I had more of them.
Yeah, right?
So cool. Okay, speaking of uncommons from Grim Reminders, my last one for Star Alliance is voted worst at keeping secrets. You know who it is? It's my girl Near Future Lens.
Yes!
-2 sass for playing it card, because your opponent knows everything, but also you know everything. Like,
right.
It just breaks the game wide open, right? It's like, there's no secrets about me. Like, where you can see exactly what's coming and you're gonna hate it. Near Future Lens is my bestie. Near Future Lens rules. I've been playing my Winds of Exchange build with Near Future Lens for a while, and it's like one of my favorite decks to play. And in Grim Reminders, it is no slouch either. It's like one of my favorite cards in the game. It's hard to think of better cards, honestly.
And I think also it fits that superlative because, like, as an anomaly, it was a spoiled secret.
Yeah, worst kept secret. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Did you have another one, or are we set to go for?
Oh no, we're good. We're good for Star Alliance.
All right. So next, I want to do Unfathomable. And this one is you might argue with me that there's a better class clown, but there's no more iconic class clown to me than Effigy of Melorook. every time this thing comes down on the table,
my God.
I have to laugh. Like, me and my opponent are just like, okay, here's this thing. It's definitely going to be relevant. Watch right. out. Oh, you're reaping. Oh, I'm putting an effigy counter on it. Like, oh, this big creature is coming out. What are you going to do about it? And then they reap. And then when they reap for the sixth time, it comes on the board. It's 100 powered, 100 armor creature. And they reap when they have the removal for it. So it doesn't matter. I've never seen this card do anything. There's like magic Christmas land stuff with like a waste knot to draw your entire deck. But again, it doesn't come out until your opponent says so.
Right.
So it's just, I like every time it comes on, I have a good time just laughing about it. It's when it lightens the mood.
It's funny. When I see it on somebody's Archon list, I have to remember what it does because it's hilarious in and of itself.
Yeah. Oh, I couldn't remember how to spell this. I had to look it up a couple times.
Totally.
Who do you have now?
Okay. So on the artifact theme, most likely to be ghosted on a date. And this one is for sure. Bottomless Depths. And the reason is, so I will read this card's text in a second, but go into it thinking, you think this card is going to be so great that you want to meet up with it. Like, you want it to be in your deck. You want, but then you read it again, and then you think about it. You have a chat with your best friend about if you should really go on this date, and then you get it. And you're like, no, please, not happening. So this card reads... Each time you discard a card from your hand, put that card face down under Bottomless Depths from your discard pile. And you're like, this has got to be good, right? Like, something about, like, what is that all? Like, you're trying to understand, like, is that what it does? Does they come back somehow? Am I like, is it just a different word for purging? And then, like, you get to the point where, like, oh, even if I am forced to discard cards, if it's being discarded from my hand, it disappears forever. Like, and there's no way to get it back. And it's just so Bottomless Depths is definitely, definitely one of the ones where, like, you think you want to go on a date with this thing. And then no.
Yeah. When happened. You start actually like thinking about it and talking to your girls about it, like, oh, I don't know about this one. Yeah, I love that one. That was really good. Speaking of, we've got, I vote Prettiest Eyes for Adelfish. You should pull Adelfish up. So look, you gotta look at her. She's beautiful. She's stunning. Just said like an absolute goddess. And then like when she gets to fight, she slays absolutely. Right? Like
I guess with eyes smizing.
Yes, yeah, so she's absolutely smizing. Unfortunately, like a late transfer to Unfathomable, but she brings a really like powerful effect. I feel like I haven't seen to its fullest potential yet. I would love to see like a cool like double Adelfish deck, which somehow like keeps them running. It would be awesome to just oh yeah, if you play a creature, you're not getting any cards, or even like fighting an elusive every turn. It'd be right. Really cool.
Oh, totally. So. My next one is most likely to live in her parents' basement till she's 30. And this one, for me, Memo Leech.
What?
Multiple reasons here. So first of all, look at the art. She's like, she's all grody. She's trying to like pull a leech off her hair and like, where did she get? Is she just, you know, hanging out in her basement and just like flopped on her head? Like, come on, whatever. But also, if you think about it too, after reap, if your opponent is haunted, steal two, otherwise steal one. So if your opponent is haunted, so like if your parents are really cool, fine having you around, and you know, like if there's nothing they can do to kick you out, then you're just leeching off of them and you're stealing too. Oh. And if they are not haunted, so if they are, you know, they got their stuff together, they're kind of, you know, want to encourage you to, you only steal one because maybe they won't let you stay till you're 30. But I don't know. I felt like this was something where I saw this art and then read the card and I'm like, yeah, she probably still lives in her parents' basement.
Yeah. You put way more thought into this than I did. Speaking of which, I have my vote for cutest couple is Kelpminder.
Oh,
Look at these two like little American Gothic beauties. Like every time they're in my deck, like I draw them and I'm like, okay, like, you know, it's a big creature. Actually, the biggest enhancement giver in Winds of Exchange.
Ooh, yeah.
Which is pretty nice. Like 5 power is no slouch. That used to be like a big deal in like Hoda.
Right.
But like I love those pips, like the double draw pips and the capture pip. Like it does a lot of my favorite stuff, and just seeing the draw pips is like, oh yeah, Becky. Like, ooh, what do these draw pips do? They just feel they're, I'm just so happy to have them, you know. They're like, I'm always happy to have them in my deck. They're so like, they're totally. Like the life of every party, you know. Absolutely cutest couple.
That's amazing. That's perfect. That's so great. And I'm gonna go to the other end of the happiness spectrum, and the kind of boring, sort of sad, most likely to get an office job after graduating is the predictable Echo Guardian, because the Echo Guardian is just personally just normal, boring, not too much flavor, has taunt. When he's haunted, he gets +2 power and poison. So like when he has a little bit of experience, he gets a little bit better. And that's kind of like, you know, office job kind of situation, but also for armor. And to work in an office job for the rest of your life, you kind of need that shell, you know?
Got to be resilient.
Exactly. Yeah. Totally. So yeah.
And also a little toxic.
Love it. Absolutely.
are you ready for our last house?
Yes, I'm excited for this one.
I do have to say, I think this is the first time either Star Alliance or Unfathomable has been outside of a set since their introduction. So, you know, that's notable. And like, I mean, we do have to celebrate these two houses before they leave, especially Star Alliance. I think has been a fan favorite for a while, maybe has had like stronger and weaker appearances, but like still like brings a lot of like flavor and cool house cheating and stuff, and just like honestly really cool effects.
And I think for those that didn't quite appreciate DT, Unfathomable had a fantastic redemption in Winds of Exchange. Like it was a go-to support house. It had control the way people who loved playing discs of old loved. So it really did bring a lot of flavor into the beginning of the new sets, the new era.
Yeah. And Star Alliance and Unfathomable had half of the restricted cards from Winds of Exchange.
Exactly.
Right? I think they'll be missed. Unfathomable provided like a really cool like vector for like the art of Keyforge, right? Like these like really cool purple like fish people and like all these underwater themes and like really fun like themes for cards, which we won't see for a while.
Totally.
Yeah, I'll miss them. But we have the house you can't get rid of. Gone for Winds of Exchange, and then back for Grim Reminders, and then gone for Amber Skies, but back for Token of Change. It's Untamed.
Yeah, right?
And who you have first for Untamed?
Okay. So I have, oh my gosh, this was some of my favorites. My first one on the list is most likely to get arrested. And this one is Spooky Charge.
Oh.
Because multiple reasons. You look at the art and she is totally reaching for something she shouldn't have. Like you can see it in those eyes that she's like, yes, I'm taking this. Thank you so very much. But also, if you think about it, the card itself, if you're haunted, forge a key at current cost. So you are taking a key outside of the key phase, and you are shuffling your discard pile into your deck. So you're kind
also
of getting
cheating.
Yes, exactly. Like you're also kind of getting a little punished for what you're doing, because most cards want to be haunted. So I think that in general, this whole card feels like a definitely going to get arrested after high school.
And you know, her favorite enabler friend, Sabira, is probably along for the ride too.
Right? Totally. Absolutely sidekick right there.
Yeah. Okay, my first one for Untamed is, of course, the least forgettable, most memorable Forgotten Guardian. how can you forget the card that like purges your key pieces or lets your opponent do something crazy again, like Ecto Charge or Island of Misfit Toys or multi-dimensional rescue, or just like undoes your counterplay when you try to purge something.
Right.
Forgotten Guardian is like one of the most interesting cards from GR because of its two-sidedness, and I won't forget it.
Oh, it's fantastic. I've actually used it a handful of times recently when I didn't even plan to. Like when your deck has nothing that purges, but your opponent is like throwing Infernuses at you. It's like, oh, well, this is a counter to that.
Yeah, exactly. Or you can use it to purge their Infernus. Like it's got cool stuff going on for like how it fires in two different directions.
Totally. That's fantastic. All right, so I got another one, and this one is a teensy tiny bit less PC, but most likely to try drugs in college. If you look at the Witch of the Spore art, she is absolutely on a trip. Like she is enjoying the green glow that's around her, and whatever is going on in her life right there is absolutely giving her like epiphanies she's never had before. But also she has poison and she's intaking poison. But if you scrap her, if you dismiss her, then she's going to try and like battle a car, you know, when you like they walk onto the street and you're like, I am absolutely going to take on this parked car right now. Like that is so totally happening. Like
you're so right. That's actually, I'm looking at the car now. That's what the scrap effect says. Yeah. Just deal 3 damage to a car. That's crazy.
And yeah, that's literally looked at Witch of the Spore and I'm like, yeah, no, that's what she's most likely to try drugs in college.
Yeah, no, she's trying drugs right now. okay, I had to vote for, of course, the biggest prankster, and I think you love them. It's Punctuated Equilibrium.
Yes.
What card has like as many turn one mind games as this, right? Like, it creates such big moments in like a tense game, right? It's like such a staple in Alliance.
Absolutely.
For like OTK decks or like Worlds Collide decks that use it to like filter and hit more stealth modes on a Star Alliance turn using Kirby or
MMM, the auto encoders.
Auto encoder. There's just so much that Punctuated Equilibrium does, and it creates some crazy untamed turns too. It just feels like whatever happens, you know, Punk is going to do something crazy in a game, and you're going to remember those turns, right?
Absolutely.
I go back to like when you talk about like holding Punk from watching your opponents and like and like thinking about if they like or if they kept their hand, you keep the Punk, right?
Right.
I think that card's so cool, and it's like obviously like incredibly powerful.
Right.
But as an Alliance player, it sometimes is a needed counter to your opponent holding a ton of cards or tutoring things back to their hand.
For sure. So where I'm gonna end off is basically I'm gonna bring this full circle and end where we started with Untamed Grim Reminders. Our spoiler card, Hell from Future Self's spoiler card for Grim Reminders. One of them was Invigorating Shower. And this card is absolutely the most likely to invite you to their LuLaRoe or Tupperware party. Because there is absolutely no way that this girl is not trying to sell you the beads on her arms or the cute outfit she's wearing. This is 100% the kind of girl that would like chummy up to you and then be like, so, hey, have I told you about LuLaRoe? Have you heard about this wonderful leggings company? I have some. You can try them on and you can, they're only like $20 here. You can have 20 of them. But then also the actual card itself. So it has a draw pip and a discard pip. And so it's like drawing you in, but also like sucking you in. So there is.
Yeah, sure.
But like the cherry on top is, so play, choose a house, shuffle each card of that house from your discard pile into your deck. Pyramid schemes here. Come on, follow me. pyramid schemes. The higher you are in the pyramid scheme, the more successful you are. And so if you get it, like you are a first time Tupperware seller and you know, you are trying to make it work, like you aren't that good at it. You're not being very successful. But like if you are all the way through your deck, if your discard pile is empty and you have done the work, you've made it really far, Invigorating Shower is amazing. You are on the top of that pyramid. So I feel like just the whole card is totally the kind of like most likely to invite you into their pyramid scheme.
Yeah. And you know, I'm always stacking my discard in a pyramid, so that makes total sense to me. But if you think about it, like Enhance is also kind of like a pyramid scheme, right? Like, I'm gonna throw these out. You guys do the work. I'll just be over here.
Exactly. Getting commission from everything that you sell. Totally.
Yeah. Oh, that drop hip was for me. I didn't get played, but that's fine. Okay. I've got one more to end this out. And I also want to loop back to the beginning, but even further back. Most inspiring is Key Charge, the classic. Aww. This card has gone on to influence so many others. The Key Cheats through the ages of Key Forge and how they developed and got even crazier ways to fire off forging for 7. You know, it was good. It gets around a lot of stuff. It closes out a game. And back in the days of Coda, it bought full turns and it taught you to think of Keyforge in a new way, taught you how to hold cards. Right. I just feel like it's such an iconic card to Keyforge. Like, where else could this card exist, right? Like what other game has this kind of stepped race to it that you could forge, spend all your resources to forge a key and like that like be a, something like really good.
It's like the OG change of win con, you know, like the forging a key is still the same, but like the being able to do it outside of the forge a key step was like so special and like mind-blowing, and it was one of the first.
Yeah, key abduction was mostly non-functional back in those days. There were a couple of decks that did it, but it's not many. Key Charge is the classic. It and Chota were in the same set, but key Charge is a common limited to one. So I think a lot of us saw it and saw good decks with them. And you know, it taught us a lot about Key Forge, and it taught Key Forge like how to make key cheats, like. Even without Key Charge in the last couple sets, I think it lives on in like all the new key cheats we get and all the ones we'll get in the future, you know?
Totally.
Most inspiring, absolutely. Okay. Well, we cannot end an episode of Help from Future Self without the titular segment.
Help from Future Self.
And Sydney, what do you have for us today?
So I really like my ABR team, and I like the way that we've already been chatting like crazy. It's one of the things that I most love about ABR, and I'm so lucky to be on a team that is already doing this. And I think that the piece of advice I have is more for anyone else currently doing ABR. Go ahead and get those conversations started now, because as you hear this, like June pointed out, when this drops, the week will be the GRRCon, but looking forward at future weeks, you're going to have to kind of consider what decks you want to play, because they're going to be unavailable to you for future weeks if you use them this week. And so having those conversations now, starting those chats, will also get you talking with your teammates and feeling out the kinds of things that they like to play, but also the kinds of things that you can borrow or people can borrow from you. So I think my advice, my help from future self right now, is get those conversations started, because I could not be more excited about all the, like, people are already brewing alliances in my ABR team, and it's like it's not even close to Alliance Week yet. Like, I'm definitely on the right team, that's for sure.
Yeah. I hear you there. I gotta start brewing. I think that's one of the best things about ABR, is what you can learn from everybody, especially when you borrow decks. How much can you learn from the owner of the deck?
Totally.
And also, if you're thinking about a couple decks, like for Archon, it's not just about which one is best, right? You can reach out to the group and say, like, would one of these be better in Adaptive or Triad or should I use it for Alliance?
Good point. That's absolutely true. Because like all of us have weaknesses and all of us have strengths. And so people have, one of the things is people that aren't as strong in Alliance have been reaching out and asking if we have ones that they can borrow. And it's like, yes, you can. But if we haven't brewed like 10 more decks before then I mean, I foresee playing a totally new Alliance on Alliance Week. But I'm so excited for the idea of like leaning on other people for just that, June. Like some of these formats that I don't play very often, like maybe some of my better decks would be better in Triad because you can't have a weak link in that format.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think ABR is all about like making all your links stronger, right?
Totally. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think that's going to be all for us this week. We are on Discord and Patreon. The links are in the show notes. You can find me on Discord as June, and I'll be on TCO a lot this week preparing for Rochester as Future Self. I just changed my photo to the Roseville champ photo, so amazing. Look out for that.
If you haven't seen it yet, go look it up right now.
It's pretty good. I'm no longer Skixuno. You'll also find me at Rochester Vault Tour next weekend. And come look for Fabulous Sing It and I. We will be playing Keymander, and we'll have our pre-con decks. We won't have our new official printed Keymanders yet, but we'll definitely have some printed. And we're excited to play with people. We'll have our pre-cons. Bring your own decks if you like. And let's have a good time.
I'm jealous. Sydney. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, I know. At Gen Con.
Yes.
Where can people find you this week, Sydney?
So I am Sydney on our Discord. I'm SC Steel on TCO. And my next one will be San Antonio. So look forward to that.
Okay. Awesome. We'll be back next week with another episode of Help from Future Self. Until then, stay forging.